All right, so we're popping, you guys. It's your two favorite brides of Christ.
Favorite brides of Christ?
On the live.
And
Godly Gangster Gang.
Godly Gangster Gang.
Christian Gangster. Street Ministry,
y'all. What's up? What's happening? What's up?
What it is, yo? Oh,
what's up?
Just keep it. You know, the real version say some real raunchy stuff right there.
Very raunchy.
Woo! Anyway.
So let's go ahead and get this thing started. We have approximately until 7:52.
Right. So that being said, what's good, you guys?
What's happening?
Go ahead and tell the people what we're talking about. Okay.
Oh, I did that last week.
Y'all, today we are talking about faith.
Okay. Yes, we are.
If you just believe, carry on. Now, you better come on and drench the throat. You know what I'm saying? Get her ready.
No. Right. You know what? That sounds so bad.
I know. That's why I just said it was bad. But don't take it that way, you guys. What I'm meaning, your vocal cords got to be prepared for that. Because if not, you'll be cracking and all that, and it's just not all good. So
that's true.
Actually take better care of your voice than what we actually do in life.
All right, so we're talking about faith as she talked, what she just said. We're going to try to keep this thing short like we have for the past 2 weeks. I hope you guys have kind of like enjoyed us keeping it short. It's a lot different than being on here for an hour and a half. It used to get long, but we understand y'all got things to do, and so do we. So, and it shouldn't take long for God's message to come through. So we're going to go ahead and get this thing started. So faith, where did this come from? So this topic came from a couple of circumstances that has been happening in my life. And so it made me reevaluate how much faith I actually do have. So if you don't know what faith is, you can always turn to Hebrews 11:1. This is the typical one that people go to. It should be very, very, very familiar. Again, that is Hebrews 11:1.
Yes.
And it says, you want to read it?
Oh, yeah, I could just tell you what it says. In some versions, it may read as faith is a thing hoped for, the substance of things that is not seen. Okay. Mm-hmm. In other words, believing without seeing. That's how it, well, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. And if you finish reading Hebrews 11, what you will find is that there are more than a couple of examples of what faith actually looks like, right? Mm. So going down, it says, in the third verse, it says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So when somebody first read that, they might not understand what that means, but having faith in God is believing that God actually created the universe. Even though we didn't see it happen, it's still having faith and believing that he actually did it. Or if you have already read the story about Cain and Abel, if you go on down further, verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. So how is he still speaking? He spoke through his action, right? Actually, in the NIV version, when you're looking at the top of this chapter, it says faith and action. So faith is an action word, yeah. Right? And when people think about faith, they might not think about it in that type of way, but it's actually an action word, because it's something that you have to actually do in order to truly say that you have faith. So again, when I was talking about things happening in my life, sorry, before I get into that or the transparency moment, tell me what you think about faith and how your faith has changed. And then I'll go into my transparency moment.
It had to change. For me, my faith for a long time looked tangible, as in my faith being like, okay, if I see it happening, then cool, we good. I know it's gonna come to pass. But what you have to realize is that if you see it, then that's not really faith.
Exactly.
It doesn't match the definition. So if it doesn't match the definition, then what is it truly? It's not faith. So for me, my faith had to shift. My faith had to change from being tangible things being seen to being the things that I can't see, but that I may be able to see in the spirit versus seeing in the physical, if that makes sense. So shifting it from seeing in the physical to seeing in the spirit, but even when I can't see it, still believing that God is still going to keep his promise, or that he's not going to leave me and forsake me. And so in those moments, whereas before it was like, oh, okay, well, I see it, so it's going to be fine. Now it's like, it's different. The faith is different. Because you're not, when you're not seeing exactly what's happening, even in the spirit, like again, y'all have heard me mention before, if he show you the mountaintop versus showing you the next step, or shows you the next step versus showing you the mountaintop, you still got to trust somewhere in there in either of those journeys, whichever perspective you get in it. And so in that, that's where you have to hold on to his promises. That's where you have to continue to work the principles. That's where you have to remember what he's already spoken over you. And the fact of, when it comes to different things in different situations, if you're faithful to him already as is and you're obedient to him, you're going to be fine, regardless of what the journey looks like. So that's where my faith had to shift for me. Because I once upon a time, now when I look at it, I didn't have faith. I didn't. Or my faith was a baby faith, honestly, if you want to look at it like that. So either no faith or baby faith. Whereas now that thing is really being activated, like just on some different levels. So, but I'm gonna let you go ahead.
All right. So I have, again, things have been happening like back to back, mentally, and also just spiritually. And so my first transparent moment is, all y'all know, even though I don't have the ring on right now, all y'all know I am engaged, right? Yeah. And so when you get engaged, you start, and it's not something that I didn't already know, but when you're getting closer to that marriage date, what happens is that you start looking at everything as far as like debt and putting that stuff together to see what it looks like, right? So all y'all also know I went to college. So I got college debt, I got my car, Bae got his car, Bae got college debt, and it's like, okay, cool. Then when you put those amounts together, I'm saying, all right, God, how are we gonna do this? Mm-hmm. Like, my faith is being tried, because I'm like, because one of the things Zay and I, when we started a particular business, our goal was to be debt free, right? Yeah. So looking at all of this and then piling, you know, onto it, my future husband's debt, it's like, God, how in the world is this about to happen? And because I don't know if y'all understand or not, but in my personality, I be thinking a lot. I'm an overthinker in many cases. I'm also a worrier, even though I look to be very carefree. But just because I'm not talking doesn't mean that I'm not thinking. And so things are always turning in my head, and I'm analyzing things. I'm going over possibilities. I'm going over what might come with what might not, so on and so forth. So from a financial standpoint, I am being pushed to another level of faith. But I can say that I am making progress, but it doesn't mean that my faith is not being tried and I didn't question, like, God, like, can you really help us to do this type thing? Because we want kids. I mean, we want a house. We want properties, properties with an S. We have the vision is there, but it's like, God, can we really do this with our current incomes, with our current plans, with the purpose that you have for us? Can we make it that this happen? And that was the problem. We are trying to make this happen instead of letting God allow it to happen. So I had a moment of lack of faith. And that's why that's being transparent, is because I think y'all, a lot of times y'all look at us and y'all like, oh, they got so much faith. They so strong. They so this, they so that. But y'all don't understand, we get tried all the time. I promise you. Right. We get tried all the time. But I guess that lets us know that we're doing something right by being tried. Because if you're not being tried in some type of way, we done talked about this, but you may need to question a couple of things. And so that was my first situation, is analyzing our finances and having faith in our finances, or having faith in God that He will provide the finances that we need for our future. And then currently, this is something Jay doesn't know, but dealing with my family, this is another faith trial, right, or a tester. Dealing with my family, nobody knows other than Naji, but my mom is sick, right? Okay, but my mom also has COVID, right? And she went to the emergency room today, and they said she has pneumonia, right? And so it's a level of faith for me, because I'm a little bit scared, right? And then on top of that, I'm also trying to make sure that doesn't affect every other area of my life, meaning, you know, going to church, you know, can I still socialize? Can I still, you know, do my 9-to-5 without being so affected? Can I still be the same person even without the situation being in my life? Because at the end of the day, y'all know people are dying left and right from COVID. I mean, just recently, I've heard about maybe about 5 people or so dying in the last 2 weeks. And it's not a game. And so for my mom to have that, and she's had health issues and stuff like that, it plays on my mind. And so now I'm in a place of, all right, I gotta have faith in God that everything is gonna be okay. Whether it's in the way that I want it or not, it's still gonna be okay, because it has to be in God's hands. So I didn't talk about it a lot, but even how I know this was a faith tester is because my prayer started to slow down a little bit, because I'm like, God, I don't even know what to say. Like, I need some reassurance that things are going to be okay. And so it was like a little bit of silence for me, because my faith is being tested to where it's like, all right, God, I don't know what you're about to do, but you're going to have to come through on this one too. So I'm being tested in my finances, or being tested in a way that will show me not who God is, but I'm going to have to allow God to work in my finances, or our finances, and I'm going to have to allow God to work in my family for my mother. So that's why I wanted to talk about faith, because I don't like to run away from the things that may be being tested at this moment. No use in running from it, because I know if I have this issue, or if I found out I had this issue, I know somebody else is dealing with this issue too. Mm-hmm. So that's my transparency moment from there. Anything you want to add, Dre?
I'm gonna let you know now, there's no need to worry.
I'm good.
I'm gonna tell you why I'm not moved in it, or I won't say not moved, but like, even though you were, I'm gonna say this real quick. Even though I know you, because you told me why you didn't tell me before we got on here, but I'm not worried, because when everything first took place, I had already prayed about this a long time ago. And when I prayed about it, I was like, Lord, regardless of what the journey looks like, I know that mine's in your hands regardless. So regardless of how the different things are coming about or whatever the doctor has to say, your mom is in God's hands, so I'm not worried concerning that. I already know she's going to be healed. I already know that on the other side of this, she's going to be grown. But when I say grown, grown spiritually. The Lord, when I'll tell you more later. I'll tell you more about what took place when I prayed. I'll tell you later.
All right.
So,
I mean,
you be encouraged to know that this is something not to show you, not just to show you, but this is going to show your family what God can do and make their faith change. But in a different way, not just on some surface level type stuff. Because not what's taking place right now is not going to make sense to everybody else because of what happened to other people in your town and in your surroundings. So what God is about to do through your mom is not going to make sense to them. It's going to be like, well, how? That's not possible. You're right. Without God, it's not possible. But because God is in the mix of it, because of who your mom is to him and who he is to your mom, it's going to be fine. So.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I said, I mean, again, it was a fleeting sense of worry and fear because I've never had to experience what it may be to lose a parent.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody has ever come close to losing a parent, but when you're in the middle of texting your mother and your mother can't respond, but your dad has to call you to respond for her, that's an indication that things aren't the best.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I believe in my heart, whether it doesn't matter how it goes, God has a plan, which is what I'm going to talk about. But it's still where I had to be real with myself to say, okay, why am I this worried? Why is this faith rising up in me when it comes to finances, when it comes to the plans of God, when it comes to my mother? Why is it that? And I had to come to the conclusion that I did lack faith in that moment. That's why no longer am I so afraid. No longer am I so worried. But I had to be real with myself, and I got 4 points of how things kind of like processed for me, right?
Absolutely.
So, number one, I had to acknowledge it. So, well, that's not my number one, but I had to acknowledge it. Yeah. No, and then the second thing that I had to do was I had to ask God or ask our Heavenly Father for forgiveness for my lack of faith. Because sometimes we think we have good faith, like we good. But when you're challenged with circumstances, it's going to test your faith. And then you're going to be like, oh, I need some different type of faith. Like,
come on, like this going to require something different. No, for
like
real.
It's real. And so I had to do that and ask God for forgiveness. Nobody else but God. Because I'm like, yo, I should know you enough to know, like, you ain't about to just leave me hanging, like, for real. Yeah. And then I had to turn away from my lack of faith. How did I turn away from that? But I had to go to number three. Well, that's number three on here. But I was actually able, I had to be vulnerable. Right, I had to be vulnerable enough to ask for others to pray for me. Now I know Jay, you remember you was in there, you was in there Wednesday. I asked for my brothers and sisters of Christ to actually pray with me or pray for me for my lack of faith. I know you heard that, and I mentioned that I do think a lot. I worry. I mentioned all of those things, and so. It's okay to actually ask your brothers and sisters for help when it comes to the things that you feel like you may need, especially when you acknowledge it. And so how do you know that it's okay? If you go to Matthew 18 and 18, let's turn it real quick. Matthew 18 and 18.
You got it? You want me to read it real quick?
Yeah, you can go ahead and read it.
Okay. Matthew 18 and 18. I'll read it from the NIV. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven.
Reading it? Read 9 to 19? I meant to do 18 through 20, I believe. Okay. Yeah, 18 through 20, yeah.
Again, I tell you that if two of you are on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them.
So if you know you lack something or you need something spiritually, it is okay to reach out to your brothers and sisters and be like, yo, look, I need help in this area right here because I ain't so strong in this right now.
Come on.
Because of my mindset, because of the way that I always start, just my heart, I just need some help. And so by me being transparent, that actually helped me to grow, because if anybody knows me, I'm not a person that I feel like I am a very needy person. I don't ask for much because I...
You don't ask for nothing. Really? Huh? You don't ask for nothing.
I don't ask for anything. I try not to.
It's her and the thing of feeling like a burden, or just even the thought of being a burden. So she don't ask. She don't ask. She rather.
Nah, I deal with it on my own, but I realize sometimes that can actually hurt you when you try to deal with everything on your own, especially when you know somebody else may be strong in that area, but you're actually weak. So hey, I know where my shortcomings was. But again, it's about ask, and be transparent. And then what I had to do next is I had to actively remind myself. So after I asked, first of all, I didn't even put this stuff in here. First of all, I prayed. Then I asked for my brothers and sisters to agree with me on this as far as prayer and my faith, right? Then I had to actively remind myself every day, right? 2 Corinthians 12:8-10.
Mm-hmm. You already got it up? If not, I got it too.
Yeah, I got it. 2 Corinthians 8:10, it says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So in this particular passage, this is Paul talking about the thorn in his side, right? Mm. And he's asking the Lord to take the thorn out of his side, right? But the thorn for me, I am a control freak, which is why I think a lot and why I worry a lot. I am a huge control freak. So the thorn in my side, or at least one of my thorns in my side, is control, right? Mm. And it's not about self-control. Self-control is very good. It's one of the fruit of the spirit, right? Right. When you get to the point where you're trying to control every area of your life and you are putting yourself where God needs to be, then that becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. So even when it came to my finances, when I moved into this apartment, one thing I thought I had to do to take control of my finances, I thought I had to get me a second job just to maintain. Mm-hmm. That would have been me taking control of the situation, but can I tell you that since I have not taken another job, God has provided for over a year? I have been perfectly fine. Yeah. That's the progress of me, the progress of me letting God do his thing. I still gave my tithes and offerings, still going to church, still ate every day. Like, I have not lacked for anything, and yet I was going to try to put myself in a position to get another job. I would have been wrong completely. And so instead of having to go result back to that, because that's my thorn, it's something that's always being thumped. Like the enemy is saying, telling me, hey, you and your husband can't possibly do this. Like, y'all going to forever be in debt. Or, you know, something bad is going to happen to your mom, or something this and something that. But that's that thorn. Like, I can't control every area of my life, but that's my thorn. But again, it talks about God's grace being sufficient, right? His power being made perfect in my weakness. So because I'm so weak in the flesh at this moment, the spiritual things of God is going to actually make me stronger in the spirit. And so right now, this is my battleground. Right now, this is where I have to claim victory. right now, this is where I do it. So going on to the next thing, anything you want to add before I go to the next thing? You good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. So after I reminded myself that God's grace is sufficient, right? And he has basically all the power. I had to also sit with myself and be like, okay, how can I really not have faith in the person that actually made me or the one that actually made me? Shouldn't I have faith in all my faith in that person? Like, it should make logical sense. Why would I doubt the person that created me? It makes no absolute sense. Because the thing is that if I'm doubting the person that created me, then I'm actually doubting the purpose that he gave me, even though he created purpose, which means that if I'm doubting the purpose and I'm doubting my existence and I'm saying that my existence is in vain. Does that make any absolute sense? That makes no absolute sense. And if you don't know what vain means producing no result or uselessness. Basically, I'm useless. And I'm minimizing myself as uselessness because I decided to doubt God, even though God can provide everything that I need. He will give me peace that surpasses all understanding. Like, why? That makes no sense. After I rationalized that with myself, I was like, girl, you fool. You a plum fool. Which is crazy. But if you guys have any doubt that God actually created us for a purpose, you can always go back to the one of the things that people always go to, which is Jeremiah 29:11. You want to go to that real quick?
I'm here with you.
Go ahead.
Girl. Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future."
Mm-hmm.
You want me to go ahead and keep going?
Sorry, I'm not even looking at it. I was looking at my next thing. So Jeremiah, what I got? Jeremiah 29:11. So, future, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. So really, that was kind of like 11 through 14-ish. But talking about that, God has already made plans for us. He already knows that plan. And in order to make a plan, that plan has to have a purpose, is what I'm getting at. Which means that this whole scripture just confirmed everything that I just said. In order for you to actually be alive, you have to have some type of purpose in God's plan. Which means that you can't doubt God, because at that point you're doubting God's plan for your life. Which makes no absolute sense. Because then you just saying you're a sack of flesh. You literally saying, I'm just a sack of flesh.
A sack of flesh.
Sack of flesh. That's it. Yeah. Anything you want to add to that before I get to my last point?
There's nothing I can say, because everything you're talking about has been my life for the past 2 weeks. And everything, how you listed it out, from the acknowledgement, the repentance, the praying and asking for help, all the way down the line. There may have been, actually, no, I didn't ask for help. I probably, in regard of asking other people.
To agree with you.
Yeah, that's one thing I didn't do.
You need to put that in your lineup.
Huh?
You need to put that in your lineup.
Yeah, man. But it's a reason why. We'll talk about it another time. But everything down to the scriptures you used, and that's why I was sitting here like, this is crazy, because these are either scriptures I've written down in like my book, like for like to get through this, like this I call it a testing almost. It's kind of like a
testing. That's exactly what it is.
A testing of my faith. But also at the same, you remember, and I go back to this moment every time mentally. I said, Kayla, you know, in the word, when Jesus got baptized, he was then tempted by the enemy. I said, you think we gonna go through that? And every time when my mind try to play on me and stuff, that comes up, then the scriptures come in behind it to get me back on track.
Well, that's 30, but it's all right.
But, so to answer your initial question, I can't add anything to that because that's exactly what my process has been outside of that asking for people to pray with me. That's been my process. So listen and understand what she's telling y'all. That's all I can say because it's true.
It's true.
It's crazy because legit, every time one of us is going through something, the other one's going through something. So it's just crazy. Carry on.
It's crazy. And the crazy thing is that Jay and I had not been talking about these scriptures together or anything. Like, literally, you can't script this. We got to be connected spiritually. We got to. Got to. We got to. Yeah. I mean, we don't come up. I literally just gave her this topic today. I just literally typed this out today. Today, literally. But anyway, that's crazy. But my last point here is new levels equal new levels of faith. It took a certain level of faith for me to allow God to to do more than a couple of things. Number one, to take control of my finances. Like, y'all don't understand how much of a control freak I am. Like, I like to write things out, or Jay know. Nigel, you know, I'm a control freak.
Everybody in somewhere.
Yeah. Having a level of faith in that, and then having a level of faith in even just meeting my spouse, like meeting Nigel. Like, I had to get to a place where I was like, all right, God. And you heard him say this yesterday. Was it yesterday? But he was saying how he had got to the point where it was like, all right, God, whatever you give me, I'll be fine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I had to get to that place as well where I was like, you know what? I can't be expecting all this. Like, all right, God, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I know I got my certain preferences. I know I got this. I know I got that. But at the end of the day, if you got something that's better for me, I'm here, and I'll be the first. I said this to everybody. Najee, he light skinned. He wouldn't have been my first pick.
He wouldn't have picked.
I mean, he's bae now, but if you would have put him in the lineup with two other dark skinned.
Ella was going for the dark skinned man.
I was going to go for the dark skinned because that's what the enemy knew I liked.
Come on.
But every dark skinned guy that I talk to, they ain't here.
Niggas.
Every brown skin I done talked to, they ain't here. I got me a light bright. Okay. But he's something that I needed. As soon as I was like, got to the place where, all right, God, I am ready and willing to accept the things that I need in the man that you want to send me. That's when Najee popped up. And so it took me a level of faith for me to trust God in that. What better than allowing your Heavenly Father to provide what you need in the man that needs to be, like, literally the one that covers your life, other than your pastor? Like, literally, come on. That's a level of faith rather than trying to control that. That's faith. And then, yeah, triple covering.
Got the hood, then you got your spiritual father, And then your heavenly Father. That's triple.
That's triple. That's it. And then now it's taking a level of faith where it's like, God, these finances gonna have to look right and look tight. This is what I'm truly believing that you'll help me to do so that I can fully be in the purpose that you have for me. You're gonna have to move some things. And so now it's taking a level of faith to just believe in that and just go with it. Yeah, so that I can fully be the wife that I'm called to be, so that I can fully be the mother that I'm called to be. It's just some things that's going to have to happen, Lord. So I'm believing and I'm trusting for that, and trusting that God will heal my mother. And I mean, not to speak bad, but she's going to be healed either way.
It's already done. It's already done.
I mean, and again, it may not be in the way that we may want, but she's going to be healed. And we've had conversations and she was like, look, this is what I want. But I will say this situation, like you said, Jay, that's why I'm no longer worried, because this situation has brought my mother and my father's marriage closer. Mm-hmm. Like literally, like I've seen my dad take care of my mom, but I've never seen him take care of my mom as much as right now. Like, I'm like, whatever. Like, I'm like, mama got it made. Like, she just got to say one word, dad, out the door like that. Like, but it's because my dad loves my mom. Like, that's real. And I know he's really concerned. And so not only are we checking on my mom, but we're checking on my dad. Like, hey, dad, you need anything? Like, you know, you good? Because I can only imagine your spouse can't hardly breathe, can't hardly talk, can't hardly walk, can't hardly eat, can't hardly drink. How would you be? Yeah. You know, like, it's scary. So I would say, you know, just keep my mother and my father lifted in your prayers, and we going on in faith on this one, and we gonna be good either way. So with that, that's my whole faith talk. This is me being transparent. This is something that I figured out about myself that I was willing to be transparent about, that most people probably wouldn't, because they want to appear to have it all together. But why do I need to fake it?
Come on,
I'm just being real. So that's it.
Point blank, period, man. And honestly, with that, man, as y'all can clearly see, you're not going through life alone.
Heck no.
We're all dealing with something in some type of magnitude. But what are you doing with that? Are you letting your faith be activated? Are you letting your faith grow in the way that I want to bring up another scripture real quick. Give me a second. And find it. I was reading this scripture this morning, and it is one quick moment. Ah, here we go. Okay. It is 2 Peter 1. And today just
let me pull it up. Hold on, pull it up. Second Peter 1. Okay.
2 Peter 1. Now, I'm going to read this from the Amplified version.
Okay.
It hit me a little bit different with the Amplified version. So, starting off at verse 1b. So, to those who have. So it says, to those who have received and possessed by God's will a precious faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace, that special sense of spiritual well-being, be multiplied to you in the true intimate knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary for a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, he has bestowed on us his precious and magnificent promises of inexpressible value, so that by them you may escape from the immoral freedom that is in the world because of this disreputable desire. Wait, hold on, I'm sorry. Oh no, here you go. Okay, verse 5. For this very reason, applying your diligence to the divine promises, make every effort in exercising your faith to develop moral excellence, and in moral excellence, knowledge, insight, or understanding, in your knowledge, self-control, in your self-control, steadfastness, and in your steadfastness, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly affection, and in your brotherly affection, develop Christian love. That is, learn to unselfishly seek for the best for others, and to do things for their benefit. For all of these qualities are yours and are increasing in you as you grow towards spiritual maturity. They will keep you from being useless and unproductive in regard to true knowledge and greater understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the reason that I brought this up is because in our faith, these different things grow, right? So in the fact that we have faith, first of all, faith being the size of a mustard seed, it's going to grow. How is it growing? Through different things, through different seasons, through different storms. So when you're dealing with faith and faith growing and going to another level in faith, that's going to require some things of you. So it's going to require some storms. It's going to require some weeds being pulled out whenever the Lord sees fit. It's going to require some pruning taking place, so on and so forth, so that we
require some hits, man. How else you get tough skin? Like, I just say this, but you, if anybody ever played guitar, you know you get the calluses, but the calluses actually helps you to play the music, the strings beautifully. And so to go through life beautifully, you're going to have to get some calluses about yourself, which represents the bark, you know, hint, hint, in my book. That's what I talk about. But, yeah.
And then even furthermore about the scripture that your favorite scripture right now, talking about taking blows to the body right now.
Your
body.
Yes. Yes, so yes, yes.
When you think of life in that way, you have to shift your perspective, because if not, that you'll get into a woe is me mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take that moment to truly, first of all, acknowledge and examine what it is that you're dealing with right now. Okay, Lord, are you testing me? Is this something I put myself in? Where am I in this position? And Lord, once finding that out, then you're able to ask him properly, okay, well, Lord, I got myself in this situation. So Lord, give me whatever is needed to be able to get out, one, but also two, learn so that I don't have to go through this again, and help me to have eyes to see you in this situation and ears to hear which way you want me to go and navigate out of this. If it's a test, again, one of the things that, you hear often every now, well, I don't know if you hear it often, but one of the things that was ringing in my mind, I remember Najee, he put in our chat a few months ago, the teacher doesn't talk when you're in a test. And I was thinking back to when I was in school and thinking about the times like when I took a test, but even sometimes in the test, majority of the time they don't talk, but sometimes they may give you a little hint when you don't understand what's going on. And so when I was praying this morning, I was just like, well, Lord, I thank you so much for everything that you've already done. And it's crazy because even in that moment, we didn't have any students today, but I was so thankful to be able to go and sit in a young adult class because he poured into me so much just in that small frame of time. So it to me, that felt like that nugget or that little hint that I needed during the test. Does that make sense? You feel what I'm saying? And so that being said, you're not alone. Even if it may seem quiet, even if it feels like you are alone, he's still there with you. The teacher is still in the room with you. So you're not technically alone, but you got to think back. Again, the Holy Spirit bringing it back to your remembrance. That's the scripture for that, because I wrote down that scripture this morning. The Holy Spirit bringing it back to your remembrance That is John 14, 26, where Jesus is talking to the disciples, letting him know that the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance everything that I have taught you and everything. He's going to bring that back to you. So if you studied well, if you listened well, when it comes time to for you to take that test, you're able to go back on those things, and the Holy Spirit brings back to your remembrance everything that you need to be able to pass this test. So you can make it through the situation. If Jesus can make it through the temptation, if you're dealing with temptation right now, that's not coming from the Lord, that's coming from the enemy, but you can still make it through that, especially if you think back on the things that has already been put into you. So then the question becomes, were you pouring anything into yourself during that time when you were supposed to be? And then if not, the cool thing about this life is it's still a whole open book test. It's still a whole open book test. So you can still go in here and get what you need. You can still go in here and get the word that you need. Because again, this is live and well. This ain't changing. Baby, this is what it is. So you can go here anytime and get what you need to be able to make it out for your situation. And then if you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life, he'll give you what you need as well. Don't mean to make this long-winded or nothing. The point that I'm making is we're all going to make it through. You just have to keep going. Don't stop. And that goes for everybody. Because I'm telling, this has been one of the toughest 2 weeks of my life. And I done cried so many times, almost every night I've cried. But God is still on the throne. So will you be defeated in this moment, or will you pick up your sword, put on the full armor of God, and just start slaying? What you gonna do?
That's
when
it.
The ball is in your court, what you gonna do? When the ball has been chucked your way, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna lay down and accept defeat? Are you gonna get up and keep going because you already know that you are already victorious in Jesus? Again, he already got the keys. He done defeated the enemy. The enemy is locked up in hell right now. And so that's why he having to send out imps everywhere. So you're going to let an imp take you from your purpose? You're going to let an imp knock you down? You're going to let an imp come in between you and your husband or you and your wife? You're going to let an imp take over your family? You're going to let an imp take over your household, your vision, take you out premature? When you have everything that you need, and the word says that even, you were already given everything that you needed when you were born, baby, even before you was born. Everything that you need to be successful as a Christian, you already have. It just takes different situations and circumstances to bring those different things out. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean? If you're going through it right now, it's just something to bring something else out of you, to birth something else out of you, to be able to not hold for yourself, but to give to the next one that is to come. So what are you going to do? You make that decision tonight. Are you going to accept defeat, or are you going to keep going? Are you going to keep slaying these dragons? Because they ain't going to stop coming. I'm going to be honest with you. But that, again, going back to the word and the full armor, if you got your shield to be able to take care of them fiery darts, you ain't got no worries. But if you're walking out ill-equipped because you're not wearing your full armor every day as you should, what you expect to happen? And we've all had the moments where we weren't wearing our armor, or where we weren't utilizing it. Even if we had it on, we weren't utilizing it. But I just challenge everybody to tap into that this season. This can be a beautiful season, but it's all in what you do as well. God has so much in store for each and every person. But what are you doing? He not working this thing alone in the regard of, hey, I'm finna just go out here and give you it all. There's something required of you. Faith without works is dead. There's something required of you. Whether that's you having to do something spiritually, or whether that's something you having to do something in the world. Or when I say in the world, meaning like you going out here and standing up to somebody, or, you know, being bold for Christ, whatever, however that looks for you. What you gonna do? What you gonna do with the ball is in your court? That's all I have to say, man. I just pray that y'all are encouraged. Michaela, thank you. Because I know you don't mind being transparent, but I know letting people in sometimes like that do be tough. But I'm super proud of you even. Because, again, y'all seen Kayla flourish through this, through the podcast and through the live and through Christian Extreme Ministries. And I've been blessed to be able to see it past that as well. But thank you. Because not many people, again, like you said a little bit earlier, with us being on this platform in this situation, or our own situation, but talking to people in this way, they think we're perfect and we're not. We go through just like y'all do. Now, whether we talk about it or not, that's another story.
Yeah. more times not than so.
Come on. So thank you for your transparency and this teaching. This was definitely great. This is definitely on time. I second, and I'm definitely touching and agreeing with you concerning Ma and concerning yes. Pops, Flap Father, Flap Jack. He gonna be mad at me for saying that. Because the last time I said Father Flap Jack, he said, I'm gonna give you one of these right here. Love you, Father.
Yes, man.
Definitely touching and agreeing with you on that. Definitely touching and agreeing with you concerning the mental side, concerning the finances, touching and agreeing with you there.
But listen, when God has given your family, and I say family because you know the husband and the wife is a family,
right.
When he's given y'all a vision, and that vision is a lot bigger than what you got right now, it's like, okay, how are we gonna get from point A to point in, like, how we gonna get to that big jump, like, you know, that's like,
you know, I
man, you we know talking I about we talking about debt free in the way we ain't got, because we, you know, credit card debt, those student loan, we trying to pay off a house, we trying to own properties within, I mean, God, come on, I know what you showed us. I know, but that's it.
Did you believe it? You are a man of your
world. That's real.
For real, man. Have you heard that song before?
I think I have heard it before. It sounds familiar.
I encourage you to go back and listen to that. It's called A Man of Your Word.
By who?
Maverick City.
Oh, you know, I have, because I listen to Maverick City.
So. I encourage you to go listen to that song. I encourage
you. You want
to
send it to me?
I definitely do. Because when you had a moments where your thoughts try to come up against you, it's just another method to be able to fight with.
Yeah, man. It's real. So, like Jay said, I hope y'all do get it. Stay encouraged. Get encouraged and stay encouraged. And continue to be transparent with yourself and with others around you. Because when you're able to be transparent with people, then they can also see that you're human too, and that you're no better than them and vice versa, but we are all in this together. So let's continue to grow, continue to trust God, and to make sure that you're always putting God first. Again, I will say this over and over again, new levels in life require new levels of faith.
Come on.
So where you're here, the reason why I'm having to up my faith level is because God is about to elevate me here.
Come on.
And the crazy thing is, our apostle had already said it, but it was just about walking it out,
man,
and actually seeing it, because he spoke it before I was actually walking through it. Mm-hmm. But now I'm walking through it, I'm like, all right, God, what you about to do?
Yeah.
What's going on? Mm. And so I'm just grateful.
Come on.
Like Paul said, you have to basically put joy in everything. Mm-hmm. And even in my weakness, I'm still gonna glorify God.
Come on.
So give him all the praise.
Enjoy
that he deserves. So that's pretty much it. And I urge you guys to please go read Hebrews 11, the full chapter. Again, you get the actual definition of faith. You also get examples, and you get encouragement. So
yeah, that thing will get you together now. Hebrews 11, that's a good, it's a good chapter for real.
Yeah.
It'll definitely get you together. But definitely.
I think that's pretty much it. You ready to close out?
Yeah, man. For sure.
Definitely we went over, but I think it was worth it.
Absolutely.
Three P's. There is power, purpose, and prosperity in your obedience. Okay. The reason why I shouldn't have to go over this every time, but I'm pretty sure y'all understand that in obedience to God, nothing could go wrong. When I say nothing, I don't mean bad things. You won't come across bad things in your life. That's not what I mean at all. But when I say nothing could go wrong, meaning you're always going to grow in some type of magnitude by being obedient to God, where, you know, you might lose something, but at the same time, you was able to gain a type of peace that you didn't have when you had that particular thing that you lost. You get what I'm saying? So being obedient to God is everything, and can make you so much more and better for your future. So I'll leave it at that.
I couldn't say it better, man. It was real. Even when you lose, it's still good.
Exactly.
Because when he brings back, it's so much better. It's so much greater. Again, you look at, and granted, it's a little bit different, but you look at Job, he may have lost his sons and daughters, lost cattle, lost property, had a physical affliction going on. But he got double for his trouble.
Double X.
Come on. 2X. I am.
Double X.
Double. So no matter what you're losing in the process, when God gives back, whatever God gives back, because sometimes we expect God to give that same exact thing back, but whatever he has is still the best thing for you, even if it's not exactly what you think he should give. And it's about you. It ain't about, he knows what you need versus
it ain't about you.
So that's a word right there. With that being said, you guys, thank y'all so much for tapping on in tonight. This has definitely been a blessing per usual. That being said, 5 things that y'all could do. First thing first, please be a vessel. What does that mean? Serve your season again. Whether it's a testing season, whether it's a tempting moment, whatever it is. Pass it, pass the moment, or pass the test. Number one, beat the temptation out because you got Jesus on your side. Whatever it is, serve your season, man. So yeah, first things first, be a vessel. Second thing, go ahead and get in your word, man. Again, if you're in a test, it's the open book one, baby. What does that mean? Get in your scripture. Sure. Get on in there, man. Because why not? First of all, number one. And number two, again, B-I-B-L-E. Basic instruction before leaving Earth. And the title of it. You feel me? So yeah, please.
Sorry, my mouth was wide open on that. I was like,
So yeah, man, please make sure you get in your word. That way, also too, when it comes to putting on your full armor, you have something to fight with. You got to have some type of scripture in you, man, feeding the Holy Spirit so that your mind can continue to be renewed. You could continue to be strengthened in your spirit. And yeah, so, and of course, not to your flesh daily. Number three, please make sure you are having conversations with the Lord. Conversations, dialogues, meaning you're listening, meaning you're applying whatever it is that he tells you, however he tells you, whether it's through his word, whether it's through your pastor that he speaks to you, or through signs or different, you know, seeing different things, or however he taught you, he taught people.
Sorry.
he talks to everybody a little bit different, you know what I'm saying? So whatever he tells you, listen and apply and do it in obedience, period, and with excellence. Number four, please make sure you are encouraging others, but also encourage yourself. Encourage yourself. When I tell you that thing there, encourage yourself.
Please.
Sometimes there ain't always somebody to call you or wake up in the middle of the night and encourage you. You got to encourage yourself. You got to get in his word yourself. You got to pray yourself. You got to seek the Lord for yourself. It can't always be other people seeking him for you. If you're not seeking him for yourself, it's not going to be practical. It's not going to be, what's the word? At the full potential of what it could
Absolutely.
Be. Your relationship. Your relationship is going through another man versus you going right to Jesus. Oh, my Lord. Anyway.
So can I say something real quick?
Yes.
So I will say don't go to people for the, like Jay was saying, don't go. So like how we was talking about this scripture, talking about what was it, Matthew 18:18-20. Talking about how, you know, if you have two or more gathered in his name, right, being able to agree. Don't go to other people with the intention of allowing them to outpray you in your circumstances.
Come on.
Like, that should never be a thing. The only reason why you should go to others is because you know they're going to pray just as hard as you. Come on. And so having that camaraderie there, having that family there to help you in this prayer process is only going to help you. And it's not going to allow them to, again, outpray you. Not meaning it's not a competition, not so, you know, it's not a competition, but again, it's just more power when it's in his name. So
that's interesting, and that's really real, because, like, you know, sometimes never mind. And last thing, I'm gonna say it. Okay, you know how, like, sometimes we be like, you know, oh, pray for this, pray for that, but they ain't praying for themselves with it. And so it's just kind of like, I don't know. If you're not praying for it yourself, what is my prayer going to do? I don't know. Like, granted, now, if you're a babe in Christ, I understand.
Yes.
But even then, like, you get what I'm saying? Like, if you're not praying about it yourself, what can somebody else's prayer do? If the Lord ain't even heard your voice on the matter, heard what you had to say on the matter, what is somebody else's say gonna do over it? You feel what I'm saying? I don't know. Anyway.
It helps, man, for the Lord to hear your voice as well.
Period. And that being said, the last thing you gotta really do is just be blessed.
Be blessed.
I'm gonna add this to that. Enjoy the process. Meaning find joy in your journey. Cause it's not gonna be all people all the time. Find joy.
Definitely not.
Find the joy in it and count it all joy in it. Everything that happens, everything that you go through, again, it's all part of the journey. So find the joy in it. All
right, this phone about to die.
I'm hollering. You think about Milan and everything Milan went through. She found joy somewhere in that thing. Same thing with Moana. She was just excited to be on the boat and just paddling along and stuff. Ooh, that's... I want to watch Moana tonight. I'm going to do it. Anyway, I love you guys. Because Moana, I believe there was a Christian writer somewhere in that, with that whole project. Because there's certain parts of it that are just...
I mean, but you got to think about it. Everything started with the word. So every essence of everything that has been written, there's some spark of God in it. I said some spark. Don't mean that it ain't been twisted and turned, but if we can pick out something in there that started with God, just saying.
Hey, real quick, I recommend, it's a kid movie, but it actually has a really good message. I recommend everybody go watch The Mitchells versus The Monsters, or The Machines. The Machines. Mitchells versus The Machines. And Kayla, it's going to be like, wow, yeah.
I've watched it before. I got to go back and watch it again.
Oh, The Mitchells versus The Machine?
I've watched it.
Yeah, you need to go back.
I can't remember it right now, but I want to go back and watch it.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie. It's not spiritual or nothing, but it's a... We need to detach, man. We got to start detaching from these, bro.
I've been telling you that. That's why I was like, no phones at the table.
Well, Kayla, you done... Never mind.
What? Say it again. Say it.
Nope.
Say it, Jay. You scared?
I'm not. I just know what battles to fight and which ones not to.
Wow. So this is what we're doing. Okay.
Ah! See how I did that there? Nah, but thank y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. We love y'all so much. This will be up Friday if you didn't get to watch the live. And yeah, that's gonna be that Friday at noon. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Kayla and Jay are back on the podcast, and so on and so forth. And yeah, that's fine. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much.
I'll pop off my phone. Bye.
I said, in Jesus' name, and she hop off my phone. Bye. It's not right.
That's what I said.